Then the next venture that I had, which wasn't quite a success in some ways, but I feel like is a testament to what true entrepreneurs really experience, right? I mean, but what we set out to do and what we accomplished, I'm extremely proud of.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. Bishal Dhawan, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Curb Mobility, a ride-hailing marketplace that connects you to professional drivers in cities nationwide. In this episode with Vishal, he shares his journey of building, leading, and inspiring teams to launch scalable products that delight users. With an incredible knack for solving complex problems and opening new markets, Vishal has grown products from early stages to over $200 million in revenue. You'll see why he excels in translating vision into execution, balancing design with algorithmic impact, and fostering a culture of leadership and action. Join me as Vishal discusses his strategic approach to innovation, product growth, and team building in the competitive ride-hailing marketplace.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to talk about some of our my experiences in Curb. I started as an entrepreneur fairly early, and I'm going to date myself a little bit. In the early 90s, I started a company that I led to an exit right at the peak of the dot-com boom, and I became a part of the merged company. I became the chief technology officer for that business. And really, that was a very crazy time where the speed against time on trying to create value was just out of control. And the name of the business was a company called Price Interactive. It was, I would call it a precursor to a Twilio. And the most interesting thing that started to happen at that point in time, we became the pioneers of introducing speech recognition based solutions powered by the telephone. That was a great run. We were doing something that nobody had done before. We were the largest and the best at doing what we did, and had a very decent exit for the investors and those involved. That was a really interesting journey for my startup that I started, getting into the dot-com area, and then that exit over there. Then the next venture that I had, which wasn't quite a success in some ways, but I feel is a testament to what true entrepreneurs really experience, right? But what we set out to do and what we accomplished, I'm extremely proud of. The name of the business was a company called Xtone Networks. And really what we set out to do was, imagine if you had a home and you had a voice assistant where you could speak to it.
I can imagine that now.
I'm sure you've heard that.
Maybe not back then, but now I do.
Yeah. So around that time frame, we really launched a business in that area. And if not for the 24 patents we have in the space, it would be more like a dinner table conversation and a chuckle on the ride back. But we really did build some stuff there and launched some very innovative pilots. We were actually the first guys to deliver a natural language interface and in automobiles for news content. We did a deal with USA Today and Gannett, and we were at CES at the opening presentation, showing what the new experience is going to be. So that journey was we learned pretty quickly that A, we were a little ahead of our time, and B, the amount of capital that we needed to raise to scale was just very hard to do, and it's proven by what's in the conversational landscape right now. But yeah, that was in the world of embedded systems devices. So I moved from the telecom world into this embedded systems devices space, natural language processing, and first forays into machine learning and things like that. It was pretty decent ride. The story's still going on. We're still trying to work on our patents and try and figure out what we're going to do over there. But just at that. At around that time frame, I think it was the 2014 time frame, and a recruiter reached out to me and told me about this company called Taxi Magic that's based out of Alexandria, Virginia. and how they were looking to create these two opportunities, or of either they would like to raise a big round of capital and compete with the Ubers and Lyfts, which were they were trying to do at that point in time, or find a suitable exit opportunity. And we very quickly got in, myself and the CEO, we collaborated pretty quickly and with some of the founders over there, and we presented all options. And one of the options that we presented was the option of an exit with Verifone, which was at that point in time, interestingly enough, the Curbs now CEO had exited his company, Amos, the mom, had exited his company and was a senior vice president at Verifone running their taxi business and taxi payments media and ride-hailing business, which was just starting. And we started to talk and got to know each other a little bit. And I was a little bit skeptical about being an entrepreneur trying to go to a public company. I'd seen that exit before in the past. But fortunately, under Amos's leadership at Verifone, we were in the right hands there. And it played out in a way whereby which we had this private equity exit in 2018. And really, we were able to take the foundation that we had built over the last 3 years, three and a half years, and start to execute. And a little bit about what we were trying to do over there is that with some of the players in the world like Ubers and Lyft that are effectively trying to create this entire end-to-end ecosystem of ride-hailing solutions. And what we were big believers in was in the taxi networks and the taxi fleets that existed in the country. And we knew what our mission was, to effectively create products and technologies and be the evangelists of these said products and technologies within this community, so to say, to make them believe they can compete. We take care of some of the marketplace side of things that it's hard for smaller fleets to bring. But see, most importantly, aggregate and unify all of these taxi fleets in a way whereby which they had we could deliver a common experience to riders, so to say. And that was the mission that we had. And about in the 3 years after the merger, we crystallized that. And then the Curb journey started with the mobility in 2018.
Tell me about the beginning and the Curb journey, and what was it? You speak so passionately about, and I love it, really helping a lot of these drivers a lot. It's not like creating a new Uber or Lyft, or you're really going back to some of these people that have been in the business for a long time as drivers. And Curb, it seems, and I noticed that there's a passion there. It really seems like you wanted to help these people. Was that a big part of you signing on to come to Curb?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I signed on to become a part of Curb because I wanted to be a part of a marketplace business, right? That was my personal motivation. And I feel very fortunate that I've been in the telecom space and then went from there into embedded systems and natural language spaces. And then from there, going into market, it's almost like I've lived three lives, right? Professionally, right? So I was really curious about the marketplace business. But when I got into the business and I started to realize the challenge and the opportunity and the nature of the uphill battle that existed, I'm just drawn to being the guy with the spoon trying to get on the other side of Mount Everest. So just by the very nature of the challenge, I was drawn to it. And more importantly, I saw a lot of hope, right? I saw that I could do something here. I had belief. And then as I started to learn about the space, and I was a very good hand, especially with the merger with Verifone and working with Amos, whose passion rubbed off on me. And it took me a while to connect with it and understand it and really really naturalize it, so to say. But when I started to naturalize it, that was beyond my curiosities. I realized that I have a bigger mission at play here. And so it did start off like that, but right now, that is square and center. We always think about what is it that we can do for our drivers? How can we change their lives for the better? And we battle between trying to understand the common denominator of experiences we can deliver, they can observe, their needs in terms of earnings, trust issues that we need to establish to say that we're here for you, right? So we balancing all of that is a challenge, and then translating into consumable products, that's a thrill of a different kind.
Tell me, what is it that for our listeners, what is it that sets Curb apart, let's say, from other ride shares?
I think I would use the word different, right? And there's a reason why I would use the word different. And it is because we're not funded and we don't operate at the ride share scale. But what we do have, what sets us apart, is that we're squarely focused on taking existing businesses that have been around for 30 plus years, many of them are even longer,
yeah,
and modernizing them to create opportunities for them to be able to sit on the same table as the rideshare companies do today. So that's what makes us different. We're limited and we are opportunistically bound in a positive sense by our target supply source in our marketplace, which are the taxi networks. And I think what sets us apart is that we truly understand what it takes to unify these many heterogeneous sources and deliver a unified homogeneous experience outside to riders. And I think that understanding the variances in these markets, the variances on how these fleets operate, the respect for the businesses that they have, and how they want to earn money and still deliver the value to our consumers, that is a huge differentiator for us, the way I look at it. And some of the things that we're doing are things that we believe and are convinced of, is going to create a resurgence of the taxi industry, because there's a role for these fleets to play, right? And they need the right opportunities, which we're helping provide.
I want to talk about some of those things you're doing, especially as CTO and coming up with different innovations. But I want you to share details and talk about CurbFlow. Can you tell us a little bit about CurbFlow and exactly what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. We are a marketplace, right? And there are two sides of our marketplace. One is the driver side of the marketplace, and the other is the rider side of the marketplace. But what we want to try and do is we want to maximize the opportunities for our drivers, right? And what we want to try and do is maximize the opportunities for our riders and any riders that is in the market for a ride. So what Curb is effectively a open marketplace that allows us to ingest rides from Curb's partners, Curb's ecosystem members, such as the work that we're doing with Uber as an example, and some others. And we ingest these rides, and then we distribute and create these earning opportunities for our drivers. So that's on one side of the flow network, which is the flow inside, which is on the demand side. And then on the other side, we're also opening up our network to ingest all types of supply, right? And create opportunities for drivers to make choices, right, on what they want to do. And I think we're the only guys in the taxi network that are operating at this scale and are creating this opportunity. But more importantly, we completely understand the paths where we want to go. We want the drivers to have options. If they have options, they will learn. So by creating more demand sources, we create demand density for drivers and for fleet owners to see that there is demand to invest back into the marketplace. So CurbFlow effectively brings riders and drivers together, regardless of the platforms and networks they belong to. Some of them are on our network, some of them aren't. And that's what's unique about CurbFlow. And the biggest challenge is, how do you deliver that unified experience so that the rider has a frictionless experience and feels he's having a similar journey as he would have in another app of choice?
Yeah, and it seems like you have been able to do that. It's just so impressive to me, knowing the business, understanding what it must have been like to have gone through COVID and now coming back and just innovating. You really have been able to innovate within the rideshare or taxi, I guess I would say, business. And out of curiosity, you're an entrepreneur. How do you foster, let's say, a culture of innovation and collaboration within the team that you run at Curb?
That's a great question. And we have deep entrepreneurial DNAs across the company leadership all the way through, and believe that the right kind of people that make a great team have similar values. And a lot of people have entrepreneurial aspirations, but it's hard. It's not easy. You need to be sparked by the right kind of ideas. The timing is good. Luck plays a factor. Resources are important. So what we do is to create a culture of innovation and a feeling of entrepreneurship. We start with one very basic core value. We create a culture of autonomy and accountability. This culture of autonomy and accountability makes people feel they own stuff, right? And just as entrepreneurs are accountable to themselves and their stakeholders as to whether they deliver to what they own, our team is tightly, their cycle of ownership and delivery and accountability is tightly woven. And I think this is what really sets us apart. We create a culture of ownership at all levels. And accountability is just a natural process that follows out of it. And as a result of that, we have people that are very good problem solvers and opportunity finders, because they feel like ownership doesn't mean doing the job. It's creation of value, right? And that culture of creation of value and asking the hard questions on, hey, what's the so what? Why are we doing this? And I've been around environments where they have a culture of creating to spark marvel with no outcomes. But at Curb, it's very different. We challenge ourselves constantly, and it's because we own. And every time we push people, we see that they're a reflection of this core value that we have. And of course, that's followed with stuff like very strong bias for action, just no analysis paralysis, just moving, growing, and being in that more way by which you're creating own value and ownership across the board.
Yeah, I can see why Curb has been so innovative and has really been able to change the industry in such a positive light. And
more from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors.
We all want the best of both. Dessert without calories, luxury without expense. And how about security without passwords? With Okta, it's possible. We secure identity for your business so you can safely use any technology. You can build experiences that are richer and more secure. Grow revenue without running up costs and scale easily no matter your tech stack. Enjoying the best of both? It's possible. It's Okta. Okta, the world's identity company.
And we're back.
Here's the question I'm really interested in finding out, because so much has changed in this space, obviously, over the past 10 years when we think about it, right? What technologies or trends do you see shaping the future of transportation, urban transportation? And how do you prepare yourself, or how do you prepare Curb for that?
Yeah, I'm embarrassed how cliched this is at this point. Yes, we really do believe that there really are two dimensions to this, right? One is creating products and software that are open and are pluggable, right? And this has been going on for a while, but in our industry, especially with the example of Curbflow, this openness is new, and there's a great opportunity in here. So on one front, we're basically moving down this path. And then on the other front, what we're seeing, which is very interesting, is that at the end of the day, if we get riders a ride in a timely and cost-efficient manner, right, their experience is already good, because you want to go to the airport. So there's a lot of innovation on the mobile applications and stuff you can do. But in order to deliver that promised ride that we talk about, yep, we need to make sure that the driver pool that we have is informed and is effectively operating to be able to execute for the demand sets that we're creating on one side. And here's where the cliched answer comes in, is that we see a very interesting path on engagement, driver training, driver earning influence, and we see our AI playing a very big role there, right?
Interesting.
And I think we're already thinking about that. We're thinking about what can we do to help our drivers, right? We are thinking about how do we get our drivers into a net earnings mindset, which is for my time, how much, what is the total I can earn rather than on a unit economics mindset, which is what is this ride worth? And I think that bridge, that next bridge that we cross, right, where effectively we build the right kind of capabilities to draw, to basically build trust, and with trust, back to trust with results. And I think that is where I think we see a very strong role of coming into play. And there's some, a lot of Skunkworks projects that we're currently incubating right now to execute to that vision, and we'll make some announcements in the coming year about them. But that's big technological trends that we have.
How excited are you about the opportunity with AI, especially, you know, for this business, this industry?
I'm extremely excited. If you can figure out a way whereby which drivers can make choices that are more informed, where predictable outcomes for them are evaluated, and the choices they make to do rides and do business with us are influenced by data, right, and knowledge. What we have is we basically have an experience for a driver whereby which he knows that he's working with us, and we're bringing in the intelligence whereby which he earns more. So that's earnings of drivers and driver behavior and driver performance, in my mind, drives the entire marketplace. Because when you get deliver a promised ride to a rider, right, you start to multiply the virtuous effect in the marketplace that you're creating. And for us, we're matching up to the experiences that the largest rideshare company in the world is delivering. So we must be doing something right. So now our goal is to shine, to with the things that we're trying to do, really stand out. And the way we stand out is by creating a class of drivers that are sought after. And that's what our vision is.
In terms of being next for Curb, the vision, I love that kind of, you know, it's a short vision, but it's also a long-term vision of what you want to do. If you were to look over the short term, just in terms of the vision for Curb over the next year or two, what do you want to see? What is it that you're putting your time and effort into? And what do you want the outcome to be?
Curb Flow is our focus for 24-25. That's what we're working on. We've got some great traction in there. We're looking to grow it. We're looking to expand the ride types into the network from consumer to non-emergency medical transportation, expanding and plugging into a B2B network. So we've got a lot of gear under the hood that sort of gets us there. And more importantly, we're also seeing the opportunities on our consumer product. When you've got a fertile market base that is brewing, driver engagement is getting better, our consumer products are also growing. And like some of the things that we're doing in the media space, right? So we're delivering Curb Journey Connect products into our consumer application so that a driver, when he's connected with us, whether he's on a phone, when he gets in a car, he has a unified experience, and our advertisers benefit from that. That captive audience that they have to the journey that they have with us, and they can connect with them, hence Curb Journey Connect. So these are some of the things that we're putting together, right, which are creating value inside our marketplace on our consumer side of things. And this is not much talked about. We are also very specialist. The way we used COVID as an opportunity is that around that time frame, we became specialists at dealing with emergency medical transportation. We pivoted the whole network.
Amazing.
And we geared it into being a supply network for this marketplace. And instead of giving up, we said, let's build and sharpen our product sets that can service this segment. And this segment is a segment that is a high touch segment. If Mrs. Smith needs to go to a dialysis appointment at 12, she's getting there at 12, right? So trying to build the entire infrastructure, including call center capabilities, to be able to deliver that promised ride is another aspect of our business. Then the other dimension that we're growing with is that we don't believe that we are the be-all and end-all for our fleet partners. Our partners are entrepreneurial. They know what's good for them. Another part of Janice, our second head, flips around and says, here's all the stuff that we're going to deliver to you to be phenomenal, right? And they're finding a niche in the non-emergency medical transportation business, winning state and local contracts, and we're empowering them. Here are better driver experiences for your drivers to do this. Here's stuff that we've made for automated call processing using natural language. Here's the stuff that we've built for routing. So we are sharing whatever we build with our fleet partners so we build these fleet businesses and help them build their businesses without worrying about the how and just focusing on the what and the why. So these are the dimensions in which we're growing, but all of it falls back into lifting the quality of the experiences the fleets and the drivers can deliver to build this new class of drivers that are going to be very highly sought after, and making the taxi business very relevant in the ecosystem, ride-sharing ecosystem to come.
Yeah, it's so great talking to you, because as someone who's on the outside and really doesn't know the business like you do and the folks at Curb, I would just have imagined going through COVID and seeing these other companies pop up, the Lyfts and the Ubers. And what's amazing is you've really flipped it, and you have become such an integral part of the ecosystem now within ride shares. And it's really an amazing feat when I think about it. It's pretty incredible. And that must make you feel good sometimes, because I know in your position, that's what you're there for in terms of innovation. And you talked about it with the medical, how all of a sudden that's become a part of your business. But it seems to me that you really, in the pivot and the change has turned Curb into just this incredible business.
Yeah, thank you for recognizing that. The thing that I want to say is that it really takes a village. And I feel like there are several others at Curb. If you woke them up and had a conversation, you'd hear a very similar sentiment. The teams that we have, from operations to engineering to product, and the leadership that we have, right? It creates opportunity for people to do things because they are passionate and they care about it. And the so what is so granularly naturalized in our DNA that it feels like we're just one extended fabric when it comes to the core values. So I do feel great personally, but I feel awesome that I do it with people. And it's now running, I'm running my 10th year here. Do it with people that I would do it again, all over again with.
And before I let you go, I want to ask you, you're an entrepreneur, you've started a few businesses in terms of what you've done. You've been in tech. You just said you've been there 10 years. It really feels to me, or I get the feeling, and I don't know because I can't say how it was like for you prior, but yeah, it seems to me like you are really enjoying doing what you're doing and being part of Curb.
Yeah, I think the short answer is absolutely. And a slightly longer answer is this, that there are reasons why people want to be entrepreneurs. And I have made those choices in the past. And living the life that I lead today, I feel no less of an entrepreneur in all aspects, in terms of what I put in, the outcomes I get. I feel no short of an entrepreneur in this environment. And I feel in some ways, we are creating many entrepreneurs within Curb because they were so close to the core business that if tomorrow they want to venture out and do something, they have so many lessons that are learned. A lot of people often end up doing things because they want to do things, because they like the idea of things. My disposition is I just like the outcome of things. And sometimes being an entrepreneur gets those outcomes. Sometimes being in an entrepreneurial environment like Curb gets you those outcomes. And I say this to anybody who's considering, keep all options open. Just focus on what your outcomes are and how you want to feel about being in a place where you are.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I do want to personally thank you, because I don't go anywhere. Living in New York City, that Curb app is a must in terms of usage, and it gets a lot of usage. You would like that and never, ever seem to have any issues, problems. I want to thank you and the company, and thank you for coming on. It's such an exciting space that you're in, and the things that you have coming down the pipe it's like you talked about AI and other innovations. I'm really excited to continue to see what you continue to build at Curb.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time. It's a pleasure talking to you. It's always good for me to come up with some air and have good dialogues like these. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Vishal.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.